Good evening, everyone. It's good to meet with you today on another day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We thank God for this day. Only God can make a day. And he has made a day and given it to us in grace. And we praise him for that. I'm glad to see each one of you. I missed you last week. I was doing all I could to try to be able to teach, but I knew early on, well, mid-afternoon, I knew in the day that I would not be able to. So I want to say, first of all, praise God. He knows the body of Christ is more than one member. It's not one member. It's comprised of many members. And the work of God continues on without us. The work of God continues. His truth keeps marching on. So I'm glad that you all, I praise God that the class was able to continue on in his word last week. And I want to say a special thank you for Sister Marcia Hall, our ministry leader, and she's a great ministry leader, by the way. And I want to thank her, as well as Sister Gay, who carried on as teacher, or whatever we'll call it, teacher, filler in, substitute. But thank God for Sister Gay filling in and for all the others who played any part in helping last week's class to go on. So it's good to be here in Jesus' name. Now, I'm not comfortable saying what I just said because I don't normally have to do that. You all who have been with me have been with me. Well, I've been teaching for years, many years, and most of the weeks, I'm actually doing the teaching. So when it comes time to say things like that, it's kind of uncomfortable for me to do that. So I'm doing the best I can. If I didn't do it quite right, just give me a little grace. So I thank God for you. I love you. I've been praying for you, and thank you for your prayers for me. On this evening, we are going to continue, and this is May 29th, our last Sunday in the month of May. So we're traveling on in the gospel according to Luke. On this evening, we're going to continue with Luke chapter 17. We started in Luke chapter 1, actually a couple of years ago now, but we have made it to Luke chapter 17. Now, our passage, we're actually in Luke 17, verse 25. But we're going to look at that entire passage. Verse 20 is when there's a passage change, a scene change. So let me pray first, and then I'll go on talking a little more. Welcome to each one of you, whether this is your first time with us, whether you're back with us because you haven't been with us for a period of time. We are glad that you are here. You're welcome to come to this class at any time. Any person is welcome to come to the class, saved or unsaved. All are welcome to come. All can receive from God's word. You're welcome to come whether you're a brand new believer, whether you've been walking with the Lord for quite a few years, whether you're just learning, whether you're a senior saint. We are glad that you are here. All need and all can prosper from the word of God. Blessed God, our Father, we come before you on this evening with praises on our lips and thanksgiving in our hearts. We thank you that we can say, our Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you that there is one true faith, one Lord, and one baptism. We thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you for your written word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We thank you that you are the writer of the book. We thank you, you are the author of the book. We thank you, you are the teacher of this book, which is more than a book that we hold in our hands that we look at here with our eyes, Lord God. We behold the Lord, even through these written words. We behold the Lord. We ask you now, Spirit of the living God, to touch us that we may indeed see this book, the Bible, as more than a book, that we may see this time of study as more of just a time to get together, to gather knowledge. But as we look into the book of your word, we ask you by your Spirit to be with us and to touch your word in us, Lord God. May it indeed be the living word of God and take on flesh even in our lives. As Jesus, the word of God, took on flesh and walked among men, help us, Lord, to take on the likeness of Christ, that we might walk among others, that they may behold our good works and glorify you, our Father, who art in heaven. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Help me to teach this class. I can't do it without you, Lord. I can't do it without you. And I ask you now, Lord God, to open our ears to hear, because we can't hear without you. So, Lord God, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. We pray for the absent part of us, for those who wanted to be here, Lord God, but they could not be with us for whatever the reason. We lift them up in prayer. We pray for the sick in our midst, Lord God. We pray for the weak in our midst. We pray for those, Lord God, who are troubled in their hearts. We lift them up before you in prayer. We lift up every prayer concern. We lift up those who are grieving and mourning, especially on this Memorial Day, and also especially during this time of such sorrow in the land, Lord God, such sorrow, Father, and such unneeded violence, Lord God. We lift up those who are grieving, Lord, and we pray, Lord God, that you by your Spirit will minister. For Jesus came to see about the hurting, the lost, the lame, all of us, all of humanity. We thank you, Jesus. Now lead us in our study. Bless each one, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope you have your Bibles, because you're most going certainly to need them. However, if for whatever reason you do not have your Bible, for whatever reason, and there are reasons perhaps that you can't have a Bible with you, God's word says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we know we have to read the word, but some cannot read for various reasons. Faith comes by hearing. You can read and not hear, and then you can hear and not really hear. So that's why we pray, Spirit of the living God, give us an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Amen. We continue now in Luke chapter 17. I would like to cover a lot this evening. So we're going to be moving as fast as the Lord lets me move. I'm going to start at, we're in Luke 17. I'm going to start at verse 20. I'm going to give a brief review, but I'm going to go through these verses 20 through 25. 20 through 25. And Sister Sharon Young, when I'm giving my review, I'm going to go on down. This is my plan until I get to verse 25. And then I'm going to ask you to read that one verse. Okay? So let's follow along with me. And I hope I can remember what I said when I get to it. But I'm going to start now at Luke chapter 17, verse 20. I read from the New King James Version of the Bible. Verse 20, now when he, Jesus, was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. Let me stop right there. Now, we can see the theme, as I have said on previous weeks, of this particular section of scripture that we're in is talking about the kingdom of God. It's obvious and evident because in verses 20 and 21, that phrase, that title, the kingdom of God, is mentioned three times. It is mentioned in verse 20, when the kingdom of God would come. It's also mentioned, keep reading a few words, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God. And then we go on down and he says, the kingdom of God does not come without observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God. So we know we're talking about the kingdom of God. Now we're going to look at that kingdom of God, but we're going to go a little further because there are many aspects to the kingdom of God. So that's the subject of what we're talking about, the kingdom of God. Moving right along. More could be said on that, but let's move right along. Now Jesus turns his attention in verse 22, and it says, then he said to the disciples, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part of heaven flashes to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. So the actual lesson for tonight will start at verse 25. Now in verse 22, we notice there's a change here. Verse 20 says, when he was asked by the Pharisees. Well, the Pharisees had a question for Jesus, and they wanted to know about when the kingdom of God would come. Jesus answers that question, and it's parts to the answer, but he gives them answers here. He lets them know, well, first of all, you can't see the kingdom of God with the natural eye. It does not come with outward observation. It's not a physical kingdom. You're not going to see God's kingdom with the natural eye. So if someone comes to you, this is a sign to look for of a false prophet, a false preacher, a false teacher. Well, one thing that lets us know if they're false or they're, I'll stay with false, is verse 21, nor will they say, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Nor will they say, see here, or see, I'm sorry, you all be patient with me. Nor will they say, see here, or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. So the kingdom of God is not physical. It is spiritual. The kingdom of God, in one sense, is here. The king has come. Jesus, the king. God, the king of glory. There is a king. But there's a kingdom that's visible and then invisible. Spiritual. And then there's also a material, physical kingdom headed by the god of this world, which is the devil. And that kingdom will come to and end at some point. We're not talking about that right now. In verse 21, when they say, see here, see there, well, people do that right now. There are many false prophets in the land. And we, in our lifetime, we have seen many, not maybe physically, actually seen them with our own eyes, but we can think of all the people that have followed so-called Christ, so-called messiahs, hundreds and thousands and hundreds of thousands, have followed false teachers. So, and different ones say, well, follow me here, and I'll show you I am Messiah. Sometimes there's really a lot of people that follow false prophets. Sometimes it could just be a few, but there are many false prophets. So we know that Jesus has let us know, if someone says to you, see here, here, look, here he is, or there, go there. You need to go to Mount whatever, and there you will see him. Well, Jesus said, no, 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 that ain't it. For when the kingdom comes, when Jesus comes, everybody's going to know it. For indeed, Jesus lets us know, the kingdom of God is within you. We're talking about a spiritual kingdom. We're talking about the kingdom that has already begun. You know, we are in Christ. We are part of the royal heritage by being in Christ. There'll be on TV tomorrow a lot about human royalty and whatever's going on in England, a lot of that. And we can see all the majesty and all of that. Now, well, that's just a little picture, just a little bit of picture of a kingdom that will become, that is eternal, headed up by God. And it will not be replaced by another. So Jesus lets us know the kingdom of God is already here. But you can't see it. It's spiritual. But believe me, the kingdom of God has begun. And then let's go on now. More could be said on that. And it's in us when we're born again. That kingdom of God, we're part of it. Heirs of the kingdom. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Well, verse 22 says, Then he said to the disciples. There is a change there. That's where I started. Verse 20 through 21, he was talking to the Pharisees. Well, he answered the Pharisees. Then when we get to verse 22, he said to the disciples. Now notice the change. He's talking to his disciples. It's beginning at verse 22, whereas in the 20 and 21, he was answering the Pharisees. Now, you know, there would be a difference in what Jesus would say to his followers. You know, on some level, there's a difference to what he would say to his followers versus those who are just round about, just seeking information, not really seeking to follow him. And he could say it all in the same sentence, because God's word hits different levels. Same word, but it feeds different people different ways. The very same word of God. So then he said to the disciples, where, I ask you, where did the Pharisees go? Well, they're right there. They're still there. But Jesus is talking to his disciples. Now, you can imagine, if you use your imagination, he didn't say, okay, you all, now I'm in verse 23 and I'm going to talk to the disciples. No, he just went on with the word. And the word hit whoever it was meant to. I guess hit's not the quite right word. But the word ministered to, enlightened the eyes of whoever it was meant to minister to. So verse 22, then he said to the disciples, the days will come. Now, I want you all to follow with me, and I encourage you, maybe not now, because it may be too kind of complicated to do it right now, but sometime this week, if I didn't ask you to week before last, sometime during this week, I would like for you to go through verses 22 until pretty much the end of this chapter. And I would like for you to look for the word days, D-A-Y-S, days. Then I would also like for you to look for, identify, find the word day. D-A-Y. There are days that are in this passage, and there is day. So that's something I would like you to do. You don't have to, of course, but this is for you to dig deeper and study in the Word of God. And just by finding those day and days, and then by thinking about it, well, is this day the same day as that day? You know, then the Spirit of God will begin to teach and show and minister. So in verse 22, now let me say, I don't know how long we will be in this passage of scripture, but you know, Sister Velma will be here until the Lord moves us on. Verse 22, then he said to the disciples, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning flashes out of one part under heaven, shines to the other part under heaven, so also shall the Son of Man will, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. So I'm sure you, just by me saying that, and perhaps you had already seen that, you can see, all right, days and day. Well, I'm not going to go through everyone, but let us identify, not by explaining the meaning right now, but let's single out or count where it says day and where it says days, just from these three verses. So verse 22 says, then he said to the disciples, the days, and if you're going to keep a chart, it's quite the exercise to do this, you will have the days. Now, you notice here, it says, it expounds on these days. It says, the days will come. So we know that's future, but we have to ask from what point. But whatever, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days. Notice that the days will come. There's going to be a period of time that will come when you will desire to see one of the days. And I could just, it just came to me, a simple illustration, very simple, but there, you know, we're saying, it's a nice day. It's a nice day. Most people where we are saying it's a nice day, and it is indeed a nice day. But in a few days or months, we're going to be saying, oh, it's so hot. Ooh, it's hot, 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 hot. Because those people say, when it's going to warm up? And when I was working, I tell them, you better leave that sun alone. That sun going to warm up. You don't have to encourage the sun. But the days will come. It's not too hot today. It's a good day here in Omaha. But the days will come when it's going to heat up, all right? So that's a little illustration of the day. Today is a pretty day in Omaha. I don't know what the temperature is. My computer tells me somewhere. But it's a pretty nice day here in Omaha. But there will be some days that will come where we'll all be trying to get to the coolest spot we can get to and be comfortable. Little illustration of the days that will come. The days will come when you will desire to see one of the days. Ooh, if I could just have a cool lemonade. Ooh, if I could just be sitting on the porch where it's nice and cool in the shade. One of those days where you will desire to see those things. Those are little illustrations, you all. It relates to more. I'm just trying to paint the picture here and teach the lesson. The days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. So we have a desire here. Since we're moving on this evening, I'm going to say this is a desire of from God's people. It's a desire of God's people, and more can be said on that and will be said. It's a desire of God's people, because it's only God's people that will be desiring to see one of the days of the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Jesus. So the world is not designed to see Jesus. We don't want Jesus, crucify Jesus. That's what we said at Calvary. And those are the last words from the world system, is let him be crucified, give us Barabbas. That's the last word from this world system regarding Jesus. That's something important to remember, because it's going to fit in with the rest of this text. So the days, verse 22, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days. One of the days of the Son of Man. And that would be Jesus and his reign up on earth, where it is glorified and seen by all. And you will not see it. So there's a set time that Jesus will be revealed. But he will be revealed. And so you see there's different times in here. And you really have to say, Lord, open my eyes, help me to teach, help me to see. And all of us, please know, and I say this as teacher of the class, this is not revealed or being taught to me in a day. This has taken much study through many years, and I am still growing, still learning. Even as I was preparing lesson this week and last week, this text we're in today, the Lord has shown me much that I had not seen before. One reason is, well, I really hadn't taught through Luke like I'm doing now. Well, let me go on. So in verse 23, and they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them. Well, we know we just read that. We just read those same words in verse 21. In verse 21, they will say, see here or see there. You know, that's what Jesus said. People, false prophets are going to be telling you, see here, see there, there's the Messiah. Well, Jesus lets us know in verse 23, they're going to say that. He already told us. They're going to say that there are Christ, false Christ, but they ain't going to be saying false. They're going to say that Christ is on the earth, but it will be a false Christ. Verse 23, and they will say to you believers, that's why we need to be grounded in the word of God. All of us, we don't have any time to waste in study. In study, Jesus told us to study for many reasons. Verse 22, and one main reason is that we not be deceived. Verse 22, then he said to the disciples, the days will come. Verse 23, and they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them, nor follow them. That's a warning. To who? He wasn't talking to the Pharisees. He was talking to disciples. And each one of us out here tonight would no doubt say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm one of his disciples. That's who he's talking to. So we need to be careful to say, oh, that would never happen to me. I would never do that. Well, why do you think Jesus gave the warnings? He gave the warnings. So verse 24 here, he goes on to say, in verse 24, well, verse 23 ended with that strong admonition, strong warning, do not go after, do not go, do not go after them or follow them. We know who we're supposed to follow. We're supposed to be following Jesus. So now let's move on here. 24. Now Jesus lets us know. Jesus lets us know in 24. Now this is what it's going to be like. I've already told you about false prophets that will come. I already told you what they will say. But now in verse 23, Jesus says, verse 24, Jesus says, for as the lightning. And I told you, when you see those four S's, those are equal signs. I'm telling you, just like the lightning, for as the lightning. Now, all of us have seen lightning. We've seen it in different measures, different degrees. We've seen the lightning. So it's illustration that God has given us, more than an illustration, is something we have seen. So relate that lightning. And you, this is something else you could think on, all of you. You could just really think about lightning, you know, more than we usually think about it. Because one thing about lightning, we could say, it comes, it gets our attention. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And the higher it is up in the sky, we just know, Lord, please don't let that lightning strike down here. And as soon as the lightning subsides, for the most part, we don't think about lightning. We don't think about lightning until lightning comes. And, you know, that right in itself is God is good. God is real good to mankind because he doesn't let the lightning stay. Now, there will be a time, but right now, God is good to man. He's merciful to man, but the day will come. So verse 24, for as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven, shines to the other part. Now, I mentioned to you before, when you see those italicized words in the Bible, it's good to get in the habit of reading that verse without those italicized words. So as you're reading sometimes, you don't have to make a big deal of it, but it sometimes does make a difference. Verse 24, for as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part. Well, we know when we haven't seen this in its fullness, we've only seen this in small measure of God's lightning. And we've seen enough to know, Lord, have mercy on me. When that lightning flashes, and a lot I could say about the lightning, we could talk about the lightning. It lights. It definitely does that. And it'll do more than that. If you get close enough to it, you don't have to be too close to that lightning. You know, it can do terrible things. Let's go on. For as the lightning, I paused there. Some of y'all might wonder why I paused. But I'm going to go ahead and mention it and move on. Because I was just thinking about Revelation chapter 4. One of my favorite scriptures. And God who sits on the throne, God who sits on the throne, not any kind of chair that we know about. We can't even imagine this throne. But it says, and out of the throne proceeded lightning, thunderclaps, and voices. The very seat of God, lightning is coming forth from it. You know, so we want to be in favor with God. But let me move on because I want to get stopped right there. So Jesus tells us in 24, for as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, equal sign, here comes our equal sign. Whenever you see those fours, F-O-R, look for the equal sign. It's been put together. For as the lightning does what it does, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. So just like that lightning, and that's where you can think about that lightning that we see in type. Well, I mean, we see lightning, but we ain't really seeing that all the lightning in God's hand. So here Jesus lets us know this, as the when Jesus comes again, it ain't gonna be no look here or look there. You know, it's everybody gonna see him. It's gonna be obvious. And the illustration that I like to give, the parable that God has put in the heavens. It's a parable, a likeness, but it's real on this earthly level. Is the very S-U-N, the sun, the S-U-N, that light. It is the S-U-N. But we also think of, when you hear sun, we think of the S-O-N, which is the Son of God. Parable. That sun, S-U-N, is a type of the sun, S-O-N. Now I'll leave you to think about that because I got to keep going on. Verse 25. Now this is where our lesson starts tonight. All I just said was review and introduction. But now we're going to start at verse 25. Sister Sharon, it just ended up that we only need you to read one verse. And that one verse is verse 25.
Verse 25. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation.
All right. Thank you. Y'all stop. Stop the train. That's what 25 is doing. It's like, yeah, there's more to say. There's more to be done. But first, before we go too far, too much further, but first. So Jesus lets us know, and you may ask, first what? What needs to happen first? Well, he's going to tell us in verse 25. In verse 25, there are things that must happen. Must happen. Jesus said must. It can't be prayed away. It can't be wished away. These things must happen. And we first of all looked at those must back in Luke chapter 9, I believe, that Jesus must die. He must, and let's look at it tonight. Luke chapter 9. Not going to spend a lot of time with it, but it's worth going back because scripture here is one book, God's word. Luke chapter 9, verse 22. Luke chapter 9, verse 22. And it says, the Son of Man, that's Jesus. Someday I'll do a teaching on the Son of Man. The Son of Man must, he must suffer. The Son of Man, Jesus, must suffer. Now, Jesus' resume, I remember Reverend Watson preached a sermon some years ago called Jesus' Resume. And he preached it from Colossians, chapter 1, I remember. Verse 22, the saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Now we notice just in this verse, the must things. Well, the Son of Man must suffer. And we would say, did Jesus suffer? Has Jesus suffered? The answer would be yes. He must suffer many things. Then we need to ask the question, is he still suffering? And I ask you to think on that. And don't be so quick to answer. Prayerfully think on it. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes. Has that happened? Well, we know, yes, it has happened. Is it still happening? We need to think about that, and we'll answer that. And then the scripture goes on. Oh, there's more here. There's more. He must suffer. He must be rejected. And it says, and it's a he must, he, but it doesn't say he must, and be killed. Well, we know that has happened. We believe that as Christians, that he was crucified. He was killed. He was that Lamb of God slain. And he was also murdered. So he was killed. And see that comma there? That comma can represent many things, but a comma puts in time frame. And it says, and be killed and be raised. And be raised. Now it gives us a time here, the third day, right? So the reason I went to this scripture is these are some of those, the must of Jesus. And we see again, he must suffer. He must be rejected. He must be killed. He must be raised on the third day. So I just wanted to point that out again. We'll be looking at it in other scriptures as we continue on in our study. But because of time, let's keep going. Luke chapter 9, verse 25. But first, everything Sister Sharon Young read, amen. But first, well, the previous verses, but Jesus stopped, paused, wait a minute. I need to tell you something else. Before the second coming of Jesus. Now here's the time here. Before Jesus comes again, these things that are said in verse 25 must happen. So now let's think about time frames. Well, what time is it for us? Well, they could be answered broadly or narrowly. I need to answer it kind of narrowly this evening. But I just asked the question, what time are we in? Well, we could first of all start out by saying this is May 29th in the year 2022. Then we could broaden it out a little further. Now, I have to be careful with this illustration that I don't broaden out too far. So let me shorten this up some, because it's a lot more to be said. But we're in the time frame. I'm going to broaden it out a lot. We're in the time frame between, we're in between. When I say we, we're in between the first coming of the Lord and the second coming of the Lord. Yeah, we're in between. We, the church, and not only the church, but everybody else too, is in between. There's sub-parenthesis and all of that. But we, now let me just say us now. or in between the first coming. Right? Well, now you all, if you think about it, you know a lot of things happened before Jesus came the first time. See, that's why I have to pause and stop, because a lot of things happened before the first coming, such as what we'll be talking about next week that I thought we might finish today. But what's something that has happened before the first coming? Well, it would be the flood. Noah and the ark, that one. That happened before the first coming. But it happened in the same period called time. Time, I've already said this, you've heard me say this, I'm going to say it again. I'll probably keep saying it. Time started. We don't know today. Scientists, they don't know it either. But time started on a day. It was a set day that time started. We know that because Genesis chapter 1 tells us, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now God has, as it were, wound the clock on the first day. Time, set that clock down. Well, use your imagination here. And time. Now, time, what happens with time? Just look at today. Time is doing what? Time is, in a few minutes, hours, depending on where you are, time's gonna say, oh, darkness upon the earth. And then it'll change back to light. Thank God. Time is changing things. That's what it does. We can look at our own bodies and see all of that. And let me get back to my topic. I need to get back closer to the subject, because that's why I say God's word is so rich and so full. So let me narrow down back down to 25. Luke chapter 17, verse 25. But let me end the thought. Time started on day one. Whenever God said the evening and the morning were the first day. In Revelation, I don't know the exact verse, but there is in Revelation, God said, and time will be no more. There will be an end of time. Time will be no more. But in between the first day and the second day, are all of these things must happen. And you could just look at that and say, wow, God is God. And you know, he doesn't have to get in a hurry to do anything. He, as they say, he got all the time in the world. Well, I mean, that's like you talk about an understatement. Anyway, let me keep going. 25. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected and be rejected. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. So what time are we in now? We already said we're in the time in between the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus. That's true. We know that Jesus has already come, born in Bethlehem. That's where God became a man, took on flesh to bear our sins, rise again as our justification. God did that for us. So we know he has suffered. But then it says he must suffer many things, and we can name many things, and be rejected. But notice the time frame now. There's a time frame. And the time is by this generation. What generation, Jesus? Well, it's the same generation that he's been talking to. those same people and more that he'd been talking to were going to be the ones that would crucify him and all of that. But I don't want you to limit it to that. It's going to be all those of this generation. So people we see on earth today, we see them every day. Some saved, unsaved at this point. We don't know who, but we're in this time frame. And in this time frame, Jesus is still in the time of suffering. Okay, I'm pausing because a lot of this you do need to digest. So let me say this again. It's review. We've seen it before, but we need to review these things to be reminded, to hear, still yet to learn. We know that Jesus Christ was crucified. We know that Jesus Christ was buried. We know that Jesus Christ rose again. How do we know that? We know it by faith. We didn't see it. We weren't there. But we are believers. And we believe it. That, you know, that's our faith. Is in Jesus having done those things. And being who he is. Jesus crucified. Jesus buried. Jesus, what's next? If we had time to unmute, we would say after the burial, we know Jesus resurrected. There were those 3 days in there. And that happened on earth. Those things happen on earth. But then after the resurrection, more happened. Some more things happened. And after the resurrection, well, Jesus walked on this earth for 40 days still, showed himself to people on the earth. Only believers. He didn't show himself to anyone who was not his child during those 40 days. That's why we know the last time the world saw Jesus, he was hanging on the cross. That's quite a thought for you all to meditate on. And I would like for you to think about it if you can think about it. The last time the world, meaning unbelievers, sinners, rejecters of the Christ, saw Jesus, he was suffering on the cross, dying, bloody, bleeding. That's how the world saw him the last time. But we know now, I'm bringing in these times here. Now we know Jesus has ascended. Okay? Christ crucified, buried, risen. Christ crucified, buried, risen. Christ did what? Ascended. Let's go to Hebrews. Now, this is a reading I would like for you to do this week. Let's go to Hebrews. My favorite book of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 1. And we're not going to have enough time to go through all of this, but we can at least read it in preparation for next week. And Sister Sadie Cole and Brother Wendell, we will get to your passage. Just hold on. But we will eventually get to those scriptures. What did I say? Go to Hebrews. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 1 and 7:24. Hebrews, let's go to Hebrews. I'm trying to get there. Chapter 1. Now I want you to keep in mind, I'm going to this text because we're talking about these time frames. Hebrews chapter 1. It reads, God, who at sundry various times Well, okay, it starts with God. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. See, that's Old Testament. That's how God spoke. Old Testament, before Jesus came, he spoke. God always got a word on the earth. He spoke in time past. How did he speak? He spoke in time past to the fathers. That was the vehicle he used, was the fathers, meaning those patriarchs, we'll say. He spoke through those fathers, spoke in times past to the fathers. How? By the prophets. So you bring in Abraham, Isaac. Who am I leaving out? Abraham, Isaac. Somebody help me. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Patriarchs before Jesus. But God was speaking. And then we come on up. We got just a few minutes. God in various times and in various ways, various, spoke in time past. Many ways God spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Has in these last days, now let's nail on down. Let's bring it on closer to home. Now it says, first it was talking about time past. But when you get to verse 2, it says, these last days. So that says where we are in this. Where are we? Well, we are in the last days. That's what the Bible said here in verse 2. Now you can outline it all kind of ways. You can do that. But it's the last days. Jesus is the prophet. There won't be any more to come. Now, God still uses different people on the earth, but let me keep going. Verse 2, has in these last days spoken to us by son. That's his language. And that's how you can identify, is this of Christ? Because if something's truly of Jesus and truly of the Spirit, you can't leave out Jesus. You can't omit him. That's how God speaks. The only language Thelma can speak in fluently, and I mean, you all, I said fluently with a great deal of imagination, because I like only know bonjour and something else. But that's the language I know. But God has spoken in these last days to everyone by every language, in every language, by son. That's God's language today. He's Jesus. And that's why we careful. Well, what did he say about Jesus? You know, that's a good identifier of false prophets. And they are more relevant and more around than you think. That's why Jesus warns us. And warns us again, don't be deceived. It's 7:29, we're out of time. I encourage you to read through Hebrews chapter 1 by God's help. And I always say this, and I really mean it. I'm going to try to start in Hebrews 11, but we'll be continuing through Luke. Father, we praise you. We give you glory and honor, Lord God. You are an awesome God. You are an awesome God. Oh, thank you, Lord. We can't even contain what we've read tonight, Lord, much less to behold his glory. No wonder they fell down and cried, holy. Lord God, bless each one of us this day. Be with us until we meet again. Keep us in your care. And Jesus, ever keep us near the cross.
Yeah.
And draw us unto thee.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen, Jesus.
Amen.
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 God be with you.
Oh,
God.
Amen.
God be with you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our sister Velma.
Yes.
This is Ann. This is Ann Christian.
Yes. Hi, Ann.
I just need to share this. Can you give me maybe a couple of minutes to share this with you? It's an experience that I had last night, and it's the experience that my second time in the hospital again. My night nurse came in the first night I was here, and she came back the next night, and I'll just make it short, how comforting she was for me. So she came back, and I told her, I said, you know, I really thank you for bedding me and comforting me. I said, believe that you are one of God's ministering angels to me, you know, and made me comfort. So she eyes got really big, and she started telling me that she was reading angel. But let me get to the core, because I don't want to take a lot of time. But last night, I could see that she was not sure of her salvation. Because the questions that I asked her, it wasn't many, just a couple I threw out. And she just said, the one thing, I hope I be able to go to heaven. And I said, are you sure of your salvation? So she kind of shrugged her shoulders. So I had a moment with her, and I asked her, did she know the good news of what the gospel was, the good news of Jesus Christ, why God sent his son to us, you know? And she said no. And so I shared, as you taught us, and this is why I want you to hear this. You have always told us to know that you are saved. And I asked her, you need to know that, you know, I told her, I believe you need to know that you are saved. And I took, as you always have told us to know that and know the good news of Jesus Christ. I took her through those. I might have missed some of them, but I know her. Told her that Jesus Christ came to be to save us from our sins. He was crucified. He was buried. And he was raised. And that is the resurrection. So I went there with her, you know, because then I said, I took her to Romans. I took her to Romans chapter 10. And I asked her, she sat down and I asked her to read from start at verse, the one that said, but what does it say? You know, that, you know, what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. And that is the word of faith we preach. You know the one I'm talking about. Yeah. And we confess what, okay, do everybody understand what I'm talking about? They call it Romans Road. And I had her read that. And, you know, and so, and asked her, you know, what's your thoughts about that? And she said, I do believe this is the way I am to be saved. You know, this is what this is telling me, you know. And then I said, and she agreed with that. And so, and I said, may the Lord God, the Savior, let him be the Savior of your life. And I just encouraged her to get in a good Bible. She's not in one. She's going to the Google to listen to different preachers and things like that, you know, because she's not in a church. And so I told her, be careful, you know, of that. That's because there are a lot of false prophets out there. And so you want to be able to know the good, you know, the good ones, that a good Bible teaching teacher. And I did. I share this. I said, beware of some religious organizations, you know, and I actually did call out too to her, you know, I said, I hope you're not offended, because I am going to say Jehovah's Witness. And the other one I said was the Mormons, of course, those two. And so I said, I hope I didn't offend you any kind of way if you have a family member with Jehovah's Witness. And she said, well, my grandfather. She said, but I did not follow him. You know, she said, I know he was in there, but she just felt that even God had protected her from going that way. And she never did join that. But she thanked me, you know, and I told her that my coming in this second time, I do believe that this was the path that maybe, I'm not saying this is the path that God wanted me to go. But when you mentioned time, I felt that was in his timing, that I was here for her, and I was able to share that with her.
Praise the Lord.
So, yes, and I want to thank you, you know, that you have always drilled that within us, that know that you are saved, and how you have taken us to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
The good news of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And I was able, I felt, to share that with her, and that she understood very well what I was saying.
Man.
And to be able to take her to Romans,
Hallelujah.
As we call
Thank
it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. So I give all the glory to God.
Yeah.
He's the one who is to be praised.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I said, I hope we meet again. You know, I told her where I worship at, of course.
Yeah.
I said, but you choose your worship, but just make sure
That's
it's
right.
a good Bible teaching church, you know.
Yes.
And so I just want to share that with you, and that I think that's enough, you know.
Thank you.
And so we praise God for her, you know.
Thank you.
And she says she felt that we would meet again. That's what she told me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, we'll be praying for her. That's for sure.
Thank God. Thank God.
Awesome.
Yeah, her first name, I don't get the last name, but her first name was Javonda.
Well, the Lord knows
okay.
who she is.
Yeah.
And we will be adding our prayers to her that she might be saved.
Hey.
And I know she's saved. And not only that, and we need to emphasize this more, grow.
Yeah.
Grow in grace.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're
yes.
disciples,
yes.
followers of
yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
First, you got to be saved. That's of course. But we fall short a lot on, you have to follow this Jesus.
Yes.
You know. So, Father, we pray for
Thank you, Father.
This lady. You know who
yes.
she is. And you came to seek and save that which was lost.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that you put Sister
Thank
Amy
you, Jesus.
In her pathway.
Thank you,
we pray, Lord God, that she who is lost may be found.
Thank
you are the shepherd, the good shepherd, Lord God, who goes after that one lost sheep. We lift
oh, yeah.
in prayer. We pray that you will water the seed that was planted.
Yeah.
Sister Ann, or maybe she was watering another seed.
Yeah.
Watering
yeah.
one that had already been planted. Thou knowest, Lord. But give increase to your glory. You the
Thank
fruit,
you.
Lord. We pray that fruit will come forth.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Awesome.
God bless you all.
Thank you, Sister Ann.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. God bless you. Have
God
a beautiful week.
You. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Thelma.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.